Please turn in your Bibles to 2 Samuel. We're going to have a long reading of the Word of God tonight. A very, very, very long reading of God's Word. So I want to prepare you mentally for that fact. What we're going to do is actually read 2 Samuel chapter 2 and 2 Samuel chapter 3. This is the Word of God. After this, David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah?" The Lord said to him, "Go up." David said, "To which shall I go up?" And he said, "To Hebron." So David went up there, and his two wives also, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. And David brought up his men who were with him, everyone with his household, and they lived in the towns of Hebron. The men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. When they told David it was the men of Jabesh Gilead who buried Saul, David sent messengers to the men of Jabesh Gilead and said to them, "May you be blessed by the Lord, because you showed this loyalty to Saul, your Lord, and buried him. Now may the Lord show steadfast love and faithfulness to you. And I will do good to you because you have done this thing. Now therefore let your hands be strong and be valiant, for Saul, your Lord, is dead, and the house of Judah has anointed me king over them." But Abner, the son of Ner, commander of Saul's army, took Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahan-anim. He made him king over Gilead and the Asherites and Jezreel and Ephraim and Benjamin and all Israel. Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he began to reign over Israel, and he reigned for 2 years. The house of Judah followed David. And the time that David was king in Hebron over the house of Judah was 7 years and 6 months. Abner the son of Ner and the servants of Ish-bosheth the son of Saul went out from Mahan-anim to Gibeon. And Joab the son of Zeruiah, the servants of David, went out and met them at the pool of Gibeon. And they sat down, one on one side of the pool and the other on the other side of the pool. And Abner said to Joab, "Let the young men arise and compete before us." And Joab said, "Let them arise." Then they arose and passed over by number, 12 from Benjamin and Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, and 12 of the servants of David. And each caught his opponent by the head and thrust his sword in his opponent's side, so they fell down together. Therefore that place was called Helkath Hazarim, which is at Gibeon. And the battle was very fierce that day, and Abner and the men of Israel were beaten before the servants of David. And the three sons of Zeruiah were there, Joab, Abishai, and Asahel. Now Asahel was as swift of foot as a wild gazelle. And Asahel pursued Abner. And as he went, he turned neither to the right nor to the left from following Abner. Then Abner looked behind and said, "Is it you, Asahel?" And he answered, "Yes, it is I." Abner said to him, "Turn aside to your right or to your left and seize one of the young men and take his spoil." But Asahel would not turn aside from following him. And Abner said again to Asahel, "Turn aside from following. Why should I strike you to the ground? How then can I lift up my face to your brother Joab?" But he refused to turn aside. Therefore Abner struck him in the stomach with the butt of a spear, so that the spear came out at his back. He fell there and died where he was. And all who came to that place where Asahel fell, had fallen and died, stood still. But Joab and Abishai pursued Abner. And as the sun was going down, they came to the hill of Ammah, which lies before Gaia on the way to the wilderness of Gibeon. And the people of Benjamin gathered themselves together behind Abner and became one group and took their stand on the top of a hill. Then Abner called to Joab, "Shall the sword devour forever? Do you not know that the end will be bitter? How long will it be before you tell your people to turn from the pursuit of their brothers?" And Joab said, "As God lives, if you had not spoken, surely the men would not have given up the pursuit of their brothers until morning." So Joab blew the trumpet, and all the men stopped and pursued Israel no more, nor did they fight any more. And Abner and his men went all that night through Arabah. They crossed the Jordan. Marching the whole morning, they came to Mahanaim. Joab returned from the pursuit of Abner, and when he had gathered all the people together, there were missing from David's servants 19 men besides Ahashiel. But the servants of David had struck down of Benjamin 360 of Abner's men. And they took up Asahel and buried him in the tomb of his father, which was at Benjamin. And Joab and his men marched all night. And the day broke upon them at Hebron. There was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. And David grew stronger and stronger, while the house of Saul became weaker and weaker. And sons were born to David at Hebron. His first son was Ammon of Ahiam of Jezreel, his second son Shiliab of Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel, the third, Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Jehush, and the fourth, Ajani, the son of Haggath, the fifth, Sephaniah, the son of Apatal, and the sixth, Ithran of Eglag, David's wife. These were born to David in Hebron. While there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David, Abner was making himself strong in the house of Saul. Now Saul had a concubine whose name was Riphah, and daughter of Aiah. And Ishbosheth said to Abner, "Why have you gone into my father's concubine?" Then Abner was angry over the words of Ishbosheth and said, "Am I a dog's head of Judah? To this day I've kept showing steadfast love to the house of Saul, your father, to his brothers and to his friends, and have not given you into the hand of David. And you charge me today with a fault concerning a woman? God do so to Abner and more also if I do not accomplish for David what the Lord has sworn to him, to transfer the kingdom from the house of Saul and set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah from Dan to Beersheba." And Ishbosheth could not answer Abner another word because he feared him. And Abner sent messengers to David on his behalf, saying, "To whom does the land belong? Make your covenant with me. And behold, my hand shall be with you to bring you over all, to bring you over all Israel to you." And he said, "Good, I will make a covenant with you, but one thing I require of you, that is, you shall not see my face unless you first bring Michal, Saul's daughter, when you come to see my face." Then David sent messengers to Ishbosheth, Saul's son, "Give me my wife Michal, for whom I paid the bridal price of 100 foreskins of the Philistines." And Ishbosheth sent and took her from her husband Paltiel, the son of Lash. But her husband went with her, weeping after her all the way to Bahurim. Then Abner said to him, "Go, return." And he returned. And Abner conferred with the elders of Israel, saying, "For some time you have been seeking David as king over you. Now then, bring it about. For the Lord has promised David, saying, 'By the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel from the hand of the Philistines and from the hand of all their enemies.'" Abner spoke to Benjamin, and then Abner went to tell David at Hebron all that Israel and the whole house of Benjamin thought good to do. When Abner came with 20 men to David at Hebron, David made a feast for Abner and the men who were with him. And Abner said to David, I will arise and go and will gather all Israel to be my king, the Lord, to be my Lord, the king, that you may make a covenant with you and that you may reign over all that your heart desires. So David sent Abner away and he went in peace. Just then the servants of David served arrived with Joab from a raid, bringing much spoil with them. But Abner was not with David at Hebron, for he had sent him away, and he had gone in peace. When Joab and all the army that was with him came, it was told Joab, Abner the son of Ner came to the king. He has let him go, and he has gone in peace. Then Joab went to the king and said, what have you done? Behold, Abner came to you. Why is it that you have sent him away so that he is gone? You know that Abner, the son of Ner, came to deceive you and to know you're going out and you're coming in and to know all that you are doing. Joab came from David's presence. He sent messengers after Abner and they brought him back from the cistern of Sirah. But David did not know about it. When Abner returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside into the midst of the gate to speak with him privately. There he struck him in the stomach so that he died for the blood of Asahel, his brother. Afterwards, when David heard of it, he said, I and my kingdom are forever guiltless before the Lord for the blood of Abner, the king of the son of Ner. May it fall upon the head of Joab and upon all his father's house. And may the house of Joab never be without one who is a discharge or who is leprous, who holds a spindle or who falls by the sword or who lacks bread. So Joab and Abishai, his brother, killed Abner because he had put their brother Asahel to death in the battle at Gibeon. Then David said to Joab and to all the people who were with him, tear your clothes and put on sackcloth and mourn before Abner. And King David followed the bier. They buried Abner at Hebron, and the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept, and the king lamented for Abner, saying, should Abner die as a fool dies? Your hands are not bound, your feet are not fettered. As one falls before the wicked, you have fallen. And all the people wept again over him. Then all the people came to persuade David to eat bread while it was yet day. But David swore, saying, God, do so to me, and more also, if I taste bread or anything else, the sun goes down. And all the people took notice of it. And it pleased them, as everything the king did pleased all the people. So all the people in all Israel understood that day that it had not been the king's will to put to death Abner the son of Ner. The king said to his servants, do you not know that a prince and a great man has fallen this day in Israel? I was gentle today, though anointed king. These men, the sons of Zariah, are more severe than I. The Lord repay the evildoer according to his wickedness. God bless to us the reading of his word. Saul is dead. David is king in Judah. God desires that David would be king over all Israel. But there's an issue of loyalty and there's an issue of rebellion. And that speaks to us very clearly tonight. Because as professing believers in the Church of Jesus Christ, we are part of Christ's global kingdom. And we have a choice to make each day of our lives. We have a choice to make. Each time we sit down in front of the computer, we have a choice to make. Each Friday or Saturday evening, we have a choice to make. Each day in our interaction, whether in our families or in our workplace, in the college or at school, we have a choice to make. Are we going to live as loyal subjects to our king? Or are we going to rebel against his authority, clearly expressed in his word? Are we going to accept that he is our king? Are we going to accept that he has the right to declare to us the way we should live? With humility, are we going to accept that rule? Or are we going to choose to rebel against it? In this account, in 2 Samuel chapter 2 and chapter 3, we have an example of simple loyalty, an example of simple rebellion. The simple loyalty is framed in a few verses, in the opening verses of chapter 2, and the simple rebellion takes up the rest of chapter 2 and chapter 3. And I want to look at the loyalty and the rebellion. And I want to bring to you a simple challenge tonight. Learn the lesson that those who walk loyally to Christ the King are blessed. And those who choose to rebel against Christ the King suffer the consequences. David has been anointed king. Chapter 2, verse 4. And one of the very first things that we hear that David is told is that the men of Jabesh Gilead buried Saul. Now, what is so interesting about that? Why is that such a prominent thing? Why is it that just upon David's ascending the throne, we are told that these men have buried Saul? What significance does that have? Well, if we turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 11, you'll see that the very first act that Saul engaged in following his being made king was the rescue of the men of Jabesh Gilead from the Ammonite king Nahash. In 1 Samuel chapter 11, we've previously studied it. Nahash the Ammonite went up and he besieged the city of Jabesh Gilead. And the men of Jabesh said to Nahash, "Make a treaty with us and we'll serve you." Nahash had said, "Okay, I'll make a treaty with you. What I'll do is, I'll gouge out all your right eyes and I'll bring disgrace on all Israel." The men of Jabesh said, "Well, give us 7 days. 7 days to see if there's anybody in the territory of Israel who will come and rescue us from this siege that you have laid to our city." And when that 7 day period was agreed upon, messengers went out, 1 Samuel chapter 11, verse 4, and they came to Gibeah of Saul, and they reported to the men in that community what Nahash the Ammonite was going to do to Jabesh and its inhabitants. Saul's out in the field. Saul comes in from the field. He sees the people weeping. He asks what's the case. He then, filled by the Spirit of God, raises an army and he goes and he attacks Nahash and he brings deliverance to the men of that city. Verse 11. The next day, Saul put the people in three companies and they came into the midst of the camp in the morning watch and struck down the Ammonites until the heat of the day. He rescued the men of this city. They never forgot that. They never forgot the day when Nahash the Ammonite came and said, I'll enter into a treaty with you. I'll gouge out your right eyes. And then you will serve me and you'll be a disgrace to all Israel. They never forgot the day when they asked that, when they asked for 7 days. And they were given 7 days and they sent the word out. Nahash thinking nobody, but nobody is going to respond. And Saul responds. And they never forgot the day when Saul rode into town and rescued them. And on the day that Saul was put to death, we read about that in 1 Samuel chapter 31. It was the men of Jabesh Gilead who went to where Saul had been slain. And his body had been fastened to the wall of Bethshean. 1 Samuel chapter 31 verse 10. The inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead, when they heard what the Philistines had done, they marched all night, and at great risk to their lives, they took the body of Saul and the body of his sons, and they brought them back, and they buried them under the tamarisk tree at Jabesh, and there they fasted for 7 days. Saul was dead. Saul had come to rescue them when death was imminent. Now that Saul's dead body was being hung as an ornament in Bethshean, these men roused themselves and marched all night, through the night, and under the cover of darkness, at great risk to their own lives in the Philistine territory, they retrieved the body of their king, Saul, and they brought him back and buried him under the tamarisk tree. And when David hears of what these men have done, and their loyalty to Saul and his role as king, his response is simple. Verse 5. May you be blessed by the Lord because you showed this loyalty to Saul, your Lord, and buried him. Now may the Lord show steadfast love and faithfulness to you, and I will do good to you because you have done this thing. Why did they do it? Because they remembered what Saul had done for them. And that which Saul had done for them had so impressed itself upon their hearts and their minds that the idea of his body being hung as a war trophy on a wall for people to walk by and mock and scoff at was something that was totally untenable for them. And out of a loyalty to that man, in his death, they risked their own lives to bring his corpse back and to bury it. Jesus Christ rules over his kingdom. Jesus Christ laid down his life as a mediator king. Jesus Christ has redeemed us by his shed blood from the lost eternity into which each one of us were born and destined to. Now, how do we respond each day of our lives when there are those around us who deny Jesus Christ? How do we respond to those around us, or maybe in our own families, who reject and rebel against Jesus Christ? Do we say, let the body of Saul hang? There's no point in us risking our necks. What would be achieved? Or do we say, no, Christ owns me because he purchased me with his blood. And I, as a citizen of his eternal kingdom, am going to be loyal to him. It's a very simple thing, loyalty. It means that you decide to honor the one who has done much for you. And today we live in a land where there are many people who go to church on a Sunday, who say they believe in God, who say they believe in Jesus Christ, and yet you look at their lives and you say, where is the loyalty to the King of Kings? Where are they? Where are they when his name is being slandered? Where are they when his reputation is being slaughtered? Where are they even at the place of worship on the Sabbath day? Where are they? They say they have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. They say that Jesus died on the cross for them at Calvary. And yet they'll turn up once on a Sunday because it suits them to turn up once on a Sunday. But in terms of giving themselves to the labors of the kingdom, in terms of giving themselves heart and soul and mind, where is their loyalty to the one who died for them? Let his body hang. I'm not marching all night to take his body down. Or is it a case, yes, we must go. We must give ourselves to this work of the kingdom. Loyalty. It's a simple thing. Rebellion. Abner rebelled. Abner rebels in four ways. He rebels first in appointing Ish-bosheth as king. Abner knew that God had chosen David to be king. How do I know that? Because I read it in 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Abner says, this is later on in the account, Abner says to Ish-bosheth, when Ish-bosheth has given him a hard time because Abner has gone and slept with one of Ish-bosheth's concubines, he says, God do so to Abner, and more also, if I do not accomplish for David what the Lord has sworn to him. In simple English, Abner's saying, I am going to help God do what God says he's going to do. The Lord has sworn to him. That's the Lord has sworn to David that he's going to transfer the kingdom from the house of Saul, and he's going to set up the throne of David over Israel and over Judah from Dan to Beersheba. At this present moment in time, David is king of Judah. So Abner knows what God has decreed. Abner knows what God wants. But we read in verse 8 that Abner deliberately chooses. Abner is the commander of Saul's army. He takes the son of Saul. He brings him and he makes him king over Israel. Verse 8 and 9 of 2 Samuel chapter 2. So, Abner knows that God wants David to be king. Abner knows that God has sworn David to be king. Everybody knows that God has sworn David to be king. Saul knew that God had sworn David to be king. Jonathan knew that God had sworn David to be king. Abigail knew that God had sworn David to be king. Everybody in the whole land knew that God had sworn that David would be king. But in the face of this knowledge, Abner deliberately chooses to rebel against God by appointing Ish-bosheth, a son of Saul, to the throne. And then he further extenuates that rebellion. He rebels a second time because he goes to war against David. That's what verses 12 to 32 of 2 Samuel 2 are all about. It's he who goes up to take on Joab, the commander of David's army, at Gibeon. Abner leads out his army. He leaves Manam to Gibeon. He goes to Gibeon, and there he sits down with Joab and he comes up with this idea, you take 12 of your young men, I'll take 12 of my young men, let's see them fight and see what happens. And we read that what happens is that each caught his opponent by the head and thrust a sword into his opponent's side, so they fell down together, and a fierce battle breaks out. He goes to war, and he fights against the army that God has given to David for David to use in his rule in Judah. Not content with his rebellion against God and his rebellion against David, he then rebels against Ish-bosheth, because we read here, chapter 3, he takes this concubine. You see, he's trying to take over the household of Saul. He sleeps with this woman. He's laying a physical claim to Saul's household. And he rebels against Ish-bosheth. He says to him, listen, are you finding fault with me because of a woman? Verse 8. He says, I know what God has decided, re your kingdom. He'd known it before. He hadn't forgot it and remembered. He'd always known this. And so he rebels against him. And he then seeks to negotiate with David a arrangement whereby he, Abner, can bring David and make David to be king over Israel. He's trying to be the kingmaker. And so he says to David, I will make you king over Israel, as if he had the power to make anybody king. Verse 12, make your covenant with me, and behold, my hand shall be with you to bring you over all Israel to you. Here's a man who's constantly rebelling. He knows the truth, but he's constantly rebelling. He knows the way of God, but he's rebelling. He knows the role of David, but he's rebelling. He's rebelling against the one whom he had set in power. At every turn, he's rebelling. And in the end, that rebellion catches up with him. For although David says to him three times, you have peace to come and go, Joab comes back. Joab's the brother of the guy that Abner has killed when the two of them were running. And he says to Asahel, you need to stop running after me because I'm going to kill you. And Asahel just keeps coming and Abner kills him. And Joab, on hearing that Abner has come to negotiate David's takeover of Israel, we read that Joab then invites Abner to come back, and Abner's not surprised or afraid of this, because three times David has indicated to Abner that he is at peace with Abner. And so Abner comes back quite unsuspectingly, and Joab goes up to him and says, let's have a private word. And as he comes up to him, he brings out his knife and sticks him in the stomach and kills him. The end of the rebel. Now, David hadn't instructed this, and David makes it very clear that he hadn't instructed this. David declares on Joab's house a curse. David walks behind the funeral cortege of Abner. David is in great lament, and all the people know that David has not in any way been responsible for either contriving or carrying out the death of Abner. All the people took notice of it, and it pleased them, as everything that the king did pleased all the people. All the people understood that day that it had not been the king's will to put to death Abner the son of Ner. David had no hand in it. But it's the rebellion, you see. The rebellion from a man who was inside the camp. Abner wasn't outside the camp. Abner wasn't an Ammonite. Abner wasn't a Philistine. Abner was the commander of Saul's army. Abner knew what the way of God demanded. Abner knew that David should be king, but he put Saul's son on the throne instead. Abner knew that he should be laboring with David and under David to see the army unified so as to defeat the enemy, the Philistines. But instead, he engaged in a military campaign against David. He who was on the inside attacked the people of God from the inside. And he rebelled against the king that he had put in place. And that rebellion found its end at the point of a knife. Now, are you loyal? Or are there elements of rebellion in your heart and mind? You're among the people of God. You're numbered with the people of God. Yet, are there occasions in your words and actions when it would be fair to someone to say, well, whose side are you really on? If someone looked at your life tonight and someone was to analyze the way you think about the plans of God and the purposes of God, if someone was to examine and analyze what you think about the other people in the church, are you secretly harboring seeds of rebellion? Or is there wholehearted, deliberate, willful loyalty? Not loyalty to the church. Not loyalty to the church. Loyalty to Christ. Loyalty to the Word of God. Loyalty to the ways of Christ. Are you loyal to the things of the living God? Or is there within your heart, you who know the truth, you who know the ways of God, you who know the plans of God, you who know the purposes of God, is there within your heart seeds or elements of rebellion? Well, if there are, I would say to you, you need to stop and you need to think and you need to take care. Because if there are seeds, if there are elements of rebellion, you're not rebelling against the leadership of the church. You're not rebelling against other people in the church. Abner was not rebelling here per se against David. He was not rebelling against the puppet king that he had established. Abner's primary rebellion was against God. He would not accept the plans and the purposes of God. He would not accept God's desire to have David rule over him. And the consequences of his rebellion affected many people's lives. There were men who died because of this one man's rebellion. There were wives who were left widows because this one man was not content to accept the ways of God. This one man wanted to play politics with the church. This one man wanted to have a role that was beyond that which God had decreed for him. Are there seeds of rebellion or elements of rebellion in your heart because you feel as if I'm not getting the reward I should be getting for the work I do in the church? Is there a sense where you feel put out? Why? Why? Why not be loyal? I'm not asking you to be loyal to me. I'm not asking you to be loyal to the elders. You've done nothing. Nothing. It gives us any right to claim you to be loyal to us. But Christ
whom you profess to be your Savior and your King. Christ, whom you say laid down his life at Calvary 2,000 years ago for your eternal salvation. Christ, your Savior. Christ, who bled and who died that you might live, that you might be redeemed from your rebellion, that you might be bought out of that bondage and slavery. He owns you. Why would you not be loyal to him? Why would you allow the seeds of rebellion even to take root? Why would you not see the moment that you start to see those seeds take root, say, I am going to grind these seeds of rebellion out of my heart and my mind, because he has loved me with a love that is beyond any question. Will you love him? Will you be loyal to him? Will you delight in his ways? Will you walk in his ways? Will you encourage others to walk in his ways? Or are you waiting for someone to raise an issue in the church at some point? And then you'll say, well, wait, I'll tell you my story as well. I'll tell you my story. I have a wee thing I could put into the pot and mix it up together with yours. Those seeds of rebellion, you need to really, really, really think long and hard about what's going on in your heart and your mind. No one is going to come along and stick you with a knife in your stomach. But there will be a consequence. There will be a consequence. God, in the person of his Son, rules over his bride. And he will not allow anyone to rebel against him and go unpunished. He will not allow it. He desires, he wants, and he expects loyalty. He expects it. Because he has won it through his broken body and his shed blood. Will you be loyal in your words? Will you be loyal in your thoughts? Will you be loyal in your actions? Will you be loyal in your decisions? Will you say, count me in. I'll march through the night. I'll be there with you to do what has to be done. I will go and be counted a number, the number of the kingdom citizens who demonstrate that they love him. Or will you be numbered among those who rebel and don't join and don't participate, and are always looking for an angle? Will you be blessed? Will you be blessed and find the love and faithfulness of God? Or will you suffer the consequences? The choice is yours. May God give you the grace to make the right one. Amen.